City, oh city, beaten by storms. Is there no one to comfort you? City, oh city, beaten by storms. Listen closely to your God. I will build your walls with gates of sparkling jewels. Righteousness will be your strength. I will teach your sons the way of the Lord. Great will be the children's peace. Great will be your children's peace.
Welcome to our Sunday message, Sunday the 17th of November, 2024. We are continuing with our series on the precious body of Christ and how she was designed to operate. And we were talking about the five mighty pillars that need to be found in the Lord's body for her to operate correctly. Before we get into our teaching for this morning, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, your guide, the light for our feet. Help us to make use of your word, to absorb what it is that you have said through your word and apply it to our lives. We pray that there will be great fruit for your kingdom from this teaching, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will bless and anoint it as we make our way through these thoughts. We ask it all in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. We are going to be reading from the book of Peter, 1 Peter 5, verse 2 to 4. That's 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm going to read from verse 2 to 4. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. From the Old Testament, I'd just like to read the well-known Psalm 23, and I'm just going to read verse 1 to 4. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Last week we spoke about what's commonly referred to as fivefold ministry, and the point was that these functions, as I call them for now, were designed by God to make the church of God self-propagate. In other words, if all these functions are operating correctly within the body of Christ, if this DNA, so to speak, is to be found, she will automatically grow and become the strong and powerful force in this earth, this overcoming force that she was intended to be, obviously with the ultimate objective of bringing the world back to God. Now, we mentioned the fivefold ministry that is described in Ephesians chapter 4, and it speaks there of apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. And as we tried to express last time, the danger is getting hung up on titles. And we can, in a way, confuse the title with the function. This is very evident when it comes to what's known as the office of pastor. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. It's interesting to note that the term pastor is only used once in the New Testament. That is in this passage from Ephesians. That's the only time this word is translated as pastor. In all the other 17 times that it's mentioned in the New Testament, that word is translated as shepherd or shepherds. So, if we want to understand the heart of what being a pastor is in the body of Christ, we can use the term shepherd. And possibly shepherd is a better way of describing it because it captures the heart of this ministry. Now, let's remind ourselves, what we are doing here is taking a broad sweep at all these five functions. It would be impossible in a short time to give a complete description of the office of a shepherd or the shepherd ministry, the pastoral ministry, even if I was remotely qualified to do so. But what we are trying to do here is capture the essence of it. And remember, in the broad context, we are talking about you and I finding our place in the body of Christ, using our giftings in the right way to achieve the purposes of God. As we've said, those purposes will not be achieved outside the body of Christ. And so we have been going through this teaching just to try and explain how the body of Christ is supposed to work. What are the various organs, as it were, of this body? And as we've been saying again and again, hopefully along the way, you and I will get a feel for where we should be, where we are designed to be, what, as it were, appeals to us, what is part of our DNA. And you see, as we do that, we can fit, as it were, like a hand into a glove where we are supposed to be, and then we can be effective. And at the end of the day, appear before God unashamed. So we're going to spend a bit of time trying to explain what the Bible means by pastor. And once again, we've got to try and capture the heart of it. In a sense, get a feel for it. It's very hard to describe in simple, clinical, academic, logical terms. It's hard to categorize. However, all of us, and the reason I'm starting with this pastoral side of things is because it's perhaps the one that most of us are most familiar with. The church uses the term pastor very, very frequently. Most people understand that going into the ministry means becoming a pastor or a reverend or a priest, whatever. Now, what we need to grasp is that being a pastor is not confined to a handful of people that we would say are part of the clergy. This is true for all of these various functions in the body of Christ. Every single one of us has to understand that we are all involved in some measure. All of these functions work hand in hand, and they are evident or should be evident in every one of us. When you and I get born again, we need to understand that God wants to use us in the body of Christ almost as it were from day one. But I'm running ahead of myself. Let's just look at this function of pastor as a need within the body of Christ. Now, the heart of the body of Christ is to take care. The body of Christ was placed on this earth to care for the earth. We think about Adam and Eve placed in the Garden of Eden. What was God's instruction to them? Take care, tend, look after. Now, we all know that that fell apart and one thing happened after another. But now we find ourselves in a world that for a large part, is broken, is self-destructing, and is hurting. God, through His Son, Christ, came to the earth to establish His body here on the earth with specific mandate to bring the world back. This process of bringing the world back involves many things, but perhaps the greatest of them is this caring, this tending, which involves the process of healing, restoring, establishing, and ultimately bringing back. Now, if you look at the term shepherd, what is a shepherd's function? And if we can get the gist of it, the feel of it, the essence of it, the spirit of it, we'll understand the need for this function, as I call it, in the body of Christ. Desperately needed. The shepherd tends the sheep. That's a multifaceted function. But in a sense, he looks out over them. And he makes decisions for them that will ultimately be for their benefit. I'm going to paint a picture here of how the pastoral, and I'm going to use another term here, anointing, operates. You see, function is possibly too mundane a description because it sounds like it's just what function we do. What we've got to grasp is that God wants to empower that function. And that's what we mean by anointing. It's a function that is empowered by God. And God's plan is to place this anointing in our midst to achieve a certain function. And that function is, as far as the pastoral anointing is concerned, the process of taking care of. A good term for it possibly would be nurturing. We all need to be nurtured. You think of a baby that is born. If that child is not nurtured, that child will surely perish. And yes, as that child grows up, the nature of that nurturing changes. And ultimately, that child should be released to become also a nurturer. That's the process of nurturing the body of Christ, building herself up in love. But let's just go back to this shepherding business. What does the shepherd do? Well, for a start, he's got to make sure that the sheep are properly fed. Feeding in this context obviously refers to teaching the word of God. We notice in Ephesians it speaks about the anointing, the office of teacher. And very often these two go together, pastor and teacher. But that's not necessarily the case. You see, the shepherd has got to make sure that the sheep have access to the right pasture. In the church context, yes, the pastor should be able to teach his sheep, as it were, those that are attached to him. But more than that, he should be able to get them exposed to the right kind of teaching that they need, which means exposure to other teachings, etc. But you see, pastoral concern goes way beyond just teaching, although this is really essential. The pastor makes sure that the sheep have the right food. But that's not enough, you see, just to have the right food. It goes beyond that. And in a way, it's almost like adding onto that food by being, as it were, the source of it and the example of it, the living example of it. We humans want something that we can touch, see, and hear. And as we know, our God is a spirit. Christ, His Son, yes, is flesh and blood, and He did dwell among us, but He's not available to everyone in the flesh at the same time. Now, to try and explain this, you see, You and I, as children of God, need to grow up and learn how to perceive God for ourselves. But you see, in the early stages of our Christian development, that's almost impossible. We need somebody that we can see. We need somebody that can, in a sense, be the Lord to us. Now please, the danger here, of course, is that now the shepherd becomes the Lord. That is not the case at all. That is not what it is about. But you see, we need someone that we can see and hear to help us in the formative stages so that we can be equipped to develop our very own relationship with the living God. And that's where pastoral care comes in. We need somebody or a number of people with that anointing of pastor, shepherd, people that care for us as human beings, not for what they can get out of us, but for what God wants them to do for us. And this is a delicate situation and a difficult one. True pastors are hard to find. But you see, we all need that connection with the body of Christ. You're often taught that it's important to be attached to the body of Christ. And many people would say very readily, yes, I'm part of the church. But I found that there are three questions that really decide whether you and I are part of the church, the real church of God, or not. And these three questions, which I suggest we all ask and answer honestly, are the following. Number one, what part of the body of Christ do you belong to? What's the name of your church, simply stated? Many people find that quite easy to answer. The second question is, do you know your pastor? Once again, very often many people can say, oh yes, my pastor is so-and-so, whatever he is, the head of the church. But the next question, the one which I believe is most telling, is this one. Does your pastor know you? Does your pastor know you? Church membership, having signed along, as it were, the dotted line, does not equate to belonging to the body of Christ. Many churches, I know, have long membership lists, many people on their books, but many of them never pitch up to a service or have any involvement with that part of the body at all. Moving beyond that, many people can say, oh, well, I know the head of our organization, so to speak. He's the pastor of our church. All good and well. But you see, that's not what the pastoral anointing is about. The question is, does that pastor, does that person or persons that are supposed to fulfill that anointing in your and my life of pastor or shepherd, do they know you? Do they know all about you? Are they concerned about you? That's what makes the difference. What we're going to learn as we go through these various anointings in the body of Christ is that it's not a case of title, it's a case of exposure. For you and I to grow, and every single other child of God to grow, for the church as a whole to grow, whether it be in one location or another, nationally or globally, we must be exposed to these various anointings, primarily of which is the anointing of shepherd. It's very sad when I come across children of God who I can see are not being properly pastored. There's something serious missing. We can, in this day and age, get all the finest teaching in the world through the internet, through social media, YouTube, you name it. It's all out there. But you see, that teaching, as good as it may very well be, can never replace the anointing of personal relationship, pastoral care. I heard an interview that somehow explained this understanding. A young rugby player, up-and-coming star in our South African team, was being interviewed, and I was amazed at the maturity of this young man, the age of 22, how he had negotiated some great matches at an international level at such a young age, with such maturity. But something else I noticed about this interview. Every now and again he would say, after the match, I phoned my father. I spoke to my dad. Apparently on one occasion, at one of these momentous matches, he shouted out to the crowd, to his parents who were seated there watching him, I love you. I soon put two and two together. You see, this young man had the honor, the privilege of being well brought up. His father operated in the anointing of pastor to him, obviously took an interest in him, and because of that, he was able to excel. God had that plan for all of us. You see, when we are in connection with a shepherd anointing, someone that is looking over us, as it were, not replacing God at all, not replacing our relationship with the Lord, but rather expressing that, being a part of that. In a sense, being the Lord to us at various stages of our development. And you see, from that flows a protection, a covering, which gives us in turn an authority, a freedom, a liberty. Other parts of this shepherding function, which I'm struggling really to try and explain, but I'm trusting the Holy Spirit that we'll just get the feel of it. You'll notice in Psalm 23 it speaks about your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, the rod, I understand, is that shepherd's crook which is intended to be used by the shepherd to pull the sheep away from danger. Perhaps the sheep is straying just too close to the cliff. The shepherd with his crook is able just to bring him back, you see. What is the staff? The staff is used when the wolf comes, when there's an attack from outside. The shepherd is there to defend the sheep who are essentially defenseless. All these functions take place through a shepherding pastoral anointing, which many people probably don't even realize and notice. But you see, take the shepherd away. Leave the sheep just on their own. What happens? And this is a picture of the church. They wander all over the place. They start eating food that's bad for them, hearing teachings that are not doing them any good. They might be fine-sounding teachings, the in thing, as it were. But it's not refined by the word, by concerned oversight. And as a result, it's essentially poison. And they wander aimlessly and they fall over cliffs. And then all that has to happen is the wolf comes and scatters all of them. That's what's happened to the body of Christ. All because, why? This great function of the pastor, the shepherding anointing, has been undermined, neglected possibly, and in many cases ridiculed. God wants the anointing of pastor, the pastoral anointing, to rise up in our midst in a great and awesome measure. It is really the heart of the body of Christ. And you might say, oh, well, I belong to a big church and I can't possibly know the pastor personally. He can't possibly know me. Well, you see, right there, what are we doing? We are confusing title with function, with anointing. God has placed in whatever church you and I belong to people around us that can fulfill that function. As children growing up, ideally our parents should exercise that pastoral function over us. As we grow up, perhaps out of the house, in a big church, that's what the home cell is all about, supposedly. That's what the small Bible studies, small groups are about. People that can bring that pastoral function into our lives so that we can grow. So that we can know where we are going. Somebody who's got the finger on the pulse, as it were, of our spiritual development. Not possibly because of any great biblical knowledge they might have, although a sound knowledge of the word is important. But more because of a caring heart, this anointing. We know a minister of the gospel who ran a very successful church And this man, to be honest, was not a very good teacher at all. Apparently he had 3 sermons, and you were fortunate if on any particular day you got his better one. But you see, even though possibly that anointing of teaching was not heavily on his life, the anointing of pastor was definitely upon him. And in his presence you sense such love that people flocked to that church. And in time God brought the teachers necessary, you see. He brought along the other anointings. But this man raised up in his midst other people. You see, that's the heart of this whole thing. The body of Christ needs to be tended, cared for. Young, born-again children of God desperately need pastoral care if they have any hope of making it. And even as we grow up in the kingdom of heaven, we all need to have around us people that demonstrate that pastoral anointing, people who care about us by virtue of the fact that we are just children of the living God, not because of what they can get out of us. As I've said, such pastoral anointing is hard to find, and it's very, very valuable. You see, we need this. We all need it. And God wants to raise up in our midst people who have a heart for people. But please note, having a heart for people is not just limited to pastoral anointing. Every other one of the anointings, every one of the other functions, as it were, has to be motivated by the same purpose. Love for God, love for his church, love for his people, as we are going to see as we go on. One final scripture, which for me captures the whole essence of this understanding of shepherd, the great shepherd. Yes, the Lord Jesus is the great shepherd, but he's entrusted that shepherding to all of us. You see, to be examples to the flock when the chief shepherd appears, right, which he's going to one of these days. But let's just speak about this chief shepherd as our example. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 11, the Lord said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Right there. That's the DNA of the true pastor. The true shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He goes on to say, but a hireling is somebody who's doing the job just because of the paycheck at the end of the month. Okay? The hireling flees, but a hireling, he is not the shepherd. One who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. How desperately the kingdom of heaven needs shepherds of this nature. My prayer is that as we just touch on this awesome subject of shepherd and the body of Christ, that somehow will ignite in all of our hearts an understanding and a need for this great ministry, this great need in the body of Christ to be met. May God speak to our hearts in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.